The tape number is, study number is 131 for, tonight's study. And we're still in, 1 Timothy 3:16. Jack wrote this, he broke the study down into six parts the way it's, written out in the King James Version. We'll go ahead and read it again like we always do, but we're just going to take up the third part, I guess, tonight, because I got a, and I'm going to use Jack's thing from this one, because it's, I'm going to take it from Matthew 16 and 17 is when we look at it, because this was Christ, and it deals with before the transfiguration and the transfiguration, because it talks about God was seen by angels. Well, he was seen by a lot of men too, as Jehovah in the Old Testament, because me and Ronnie was talking about it, and I think the Lord, where it says the Lord, was about 6,000 times, and
over 6,000 times
in the Old Testament.
Yeah.
Okay, but we're going to go back to the Old Testament a little bit, because if we have time, and look at the fourth chapter of Malachi too, which that's the last chapter of Malachi, and it's very short, but. Malachi and Zechariah, to start off with, before we really get into the study, they were, contemporary, prophets. And they were both, had been chosen pretty close to the same time period. But in Zechariah says there'll be no more prophets till one comes, and we might look at that if we have time to, but in chapter 14 of Zechariah, but Malachi only had a short I guess run there, if you call it a run, and he says some things that pertains to Matthew 17. And so we'll talk about that when we get there. But, okay, to realize and understand this verse of scripture, let's go back and just read it. And it says, "And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh." We took one study to do that. "Justified in the Spirit," we took one study to do that, and it says "seen of angels," I believe the way it's listed there. Yeah, "seen of angels," "preached unto the Gentiles," "believed on in the world," "received up in the glory," and of course this is the six different aspects that Paul is telling Timothy about in these things, and that we really need to give them a look over, because some of these things he goes back to other places. Now we could have went all the way back to Abram with the word Jehovah, and because Abram was sitting in his tent, and two angels showed up, and then along with the two angels, Jehovah showed up, and the angels went on up to Sodom and Gomorrah because they was looking it over to see what was going to do or see what to do in that situation. And Jehovah sat there and talked with Abram, and Abram sent out and killed a calf and had it fixed up, and Jehovah ate with with Abram there. And so it seemed like the angels was the kind of the leading entourage of Jehovah coming to see Abram, and that's when he when he said that Sarah was going to produce a child. In her age, she laughed, but she said she didn't laugh, but she laughed within herself. And with God, who knows all things and even knows your thoughts. So he didn't have to hear that, but he did. But see, he heard her thoughts in that sense. And she told the Lord, no, I didn't like, but she really did. Mm-hmm. And so that's the way it works with God. So, you know, we have this situation here that, is very much more complex than mankind is. And it's much more intimate because you can't hide from God. That's just not going to happen. So let's turn back from the reading of the verse of Scripture.
Well, that was 1 Timothy 3:16, right?
Let's turn back to Matthew 16. I want to go back to Matthew 16 because it talks about some of these things here, and we're going to look at Matthew, I want to go start with 16:13. And we're going to read down through part of chapter 17. And then probably go to Philippians for a minute. A little bit if we have time, and then back to Zechariah and Malachi if we have time. Which I don't suppose we'll get all the way there. But let's look at Matthew 16, and we'll start at 13. And it says this, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So this was the question that he was asking to them. And so he was wanting to know who do men say? And then 14 gives you the answer of the disciples. And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. So that was their answer, I guess, to the group. And he said unto them, but whom say ye that I am? Then here's Peter. It went from probably a group question now to a one-man question. And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto Peter, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. So, this power of to retain or to loose is something that is evidently very great. Then charged he his disciples that they should tell no man that he was Jesus the Christ. Because it seems like every time this came up in the subject, it caused problems and Christ moved on. Because they wasn't believing it. And it says, from that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go into Jerusalem, suffer many things of the elders, and the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed. But, it says, and be risen, raised again the third day. And so there was a lot of understanding that had to be done here. I think there was a lot of unpacking there from some of their former thoughts that they had. It was kind of like the guys with the wagons going out on the Oregon Trail. They had a lot of stuff packed up in their minds and beings that they needed to get rid of. Peter here was, of course, again, one of the first. It says, then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. He says, you know, don't be talking like this. That just can't be.
Yeah.
In his mind, it just couldn't happen. But he turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. So you see, it was already established. And he says, Peter, you're taking the man's side now. You're not taking God's side. And that was, I guess, a simple way of saying, what's going to beset me is going to set the people of the world free from their sin. And so he said, Peter, leave me alone.
He didn't know the whole story.
Right. Okay. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, verse 24, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is man? What is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul or his life? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Okay, this is a kingdom hope here. This is early on. Kingdom, talking about his the work of the kingdom. And one more verse says, verily I say unto you, that there will be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. Okay. That is a big statement to say. But if you look at the word coming, there in the notes there that Bulger Welch put in. It said the promise of this coming was definitely repeated later in Acts 3, verses 19 through 26. Hence the particular, since the particular A-N, which though untranslatable expressed the condition of a hypothesis implied their continuing to live until Acts 28, 25, 26 was certain. But the fulfillment of the condition there was uncertain. So there was no and after until in Matthew 17:9. Now we haven't got into chapter 17 yet. So in 17 is quite unusual, and a lot of unusual things happen when God moves man around in times, and it becomes very convoluted in the things that has to work out so they can see what is going to take place. And this was what the Lord wanted the three men that God took with him up on the mountain to see and to know. So it says, after 6 days. Didn't say what they'd done in those 6 days. But after 6 days had passed, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart. And I didn't look at the word apart there. 17:1. Not the traditional Tabor Mountain, for it was then inhabited with a fortress on the top, according to Josephus. More probably Mount Hermon. Okay, so it was not the mountain that they normally dealt with, because there was things on that, built on that mountain. This high mountain was apart from the others. And he said, and he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. Now, the word transfigured there, in the Greek, it's metamorphomai, and that means to change the form. So, Christ made a change in himself before them. And, it says, more 9:2, and in Romans 12:2, and 2 Corinthians 3:18, marking the change to a new condition. While schematizo. So the scheme changed there, to form a former condition, or something that he didn't normally, I suppose, took up or took upon himself. And there's a note here, it says on Philippians 3:21, and that this change became light. It says, and his raiment was white as the light that his face had. His face did shine as the sun, and his raiment or clothing was white as the light. And so hold that thought there just for a minute, and let's look at, and I made a note there, let's look at Philippians 3:21 for a minute. Philippians 3:21 says, well, we'll just read 20 and 21. It said, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto his glorious body, or what his change was at that time that we just read about it in Matthew 17:2, where it became light and it shined like the sun. And so this is what his glorious body is going to be like, according to the working whereby he is able even to subdue all things and to himself. So you see, when he was transfigured, when he was changed to a situation that would give him that power and that light that these people saw, was something that's going to be part of his being and his body, I think, at the time that he is done with everything here and he takes up his body with him, and we will be with him in the heavenlies. So Paul mentions this again here in Philippians that well, he has an understanding of scripture, so He can go back and get this. Okay, let's go back to Matthew 17:3. Because other things happen in verse 3. And it says, and behold, when you see behold there, it's used for emphasis. There appeared unto them. They appeared unto Christ, Peter, James, and John, those four. It appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him, with Christ. Okay, verse 3 there is very important, because Moses is the one representing the law here and those to be raised from the dead. So Moses is one that shows them about one that can have life again after death. Okay? And it says, see notes on chapter 8, verse 4. And Elias is the word Elijah. And it represents those that was understood to be caught up without dying. But we know that no one can inherit the kingdom of God in his dust suit. I'll put it that way, in his dust being. Both are mentioned in Malachi 4:4, fourth chapter, verses 4 and 5. And so that's another place I want to look at. They're talking together. It says in Luke 9:31, they spake of his decease with the Lord. And it said, then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elijah. So, you see, he left the three out there that had gone up with Christ on the mountain. But the other two was, I reckon, to have life again. And so they were looking at him. He said, while he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, full stop. And behold, a voice out of the cloud, which said, now there was a voice. They didn't see God in his, they didn't see him as face to face. Because they had not died yet. And they had not been given this new thing that Christ was showing them that they could have concerning death and resurrection. And he said, and behold a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear ye him. And when the three disciples, and it doesn't say three, but that was those that were there. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. Why? Because this is the God of heaven speaking to them, and they were afraid they might lose their life from looking to see if they could see him. And they were afraid. And the Son, Jesus, came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, tell what you've seen to no man until. Here's the until word. Until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. So he says, I have shown you a little bit of the wondrous things that are coming down the road. But you're not to tell anybody what you've seen concerning this until it happens and until I am back with you in resurrection again. Isn't that something? Because at this point, Jesus had not died for the people's sins. He had not done what the Father knew he was going to do. But the Father knew because he testified of the fact, in him I am well pleased. Mm-hmm. because it was a done deal even when before it was done. He knew it was a done deal. Let's read on a little bit. And his disciples asked him, saying, why then say the scribes that Elias must come first? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already, and they knew him not, but they have done unto him whatsoever they listed. Likewise shall also the Son of Man suffer of them. And the disciples understood that he spake unto them, not of Elijah, the Tenemite. Was that who they said he was in the Old Testament?
Tishbite.
But here, it's transposed over to John the Baptist. In 13. Of concerning the explanation there, that talking about suffering and glory up there, the explanation re John the Baptist. He said, will restore, not the same but better. The noun occurs only in Acts 3:21. The verb occurs 8 times. Matthew 12:13, 17, 11. Mark 3:5, 8:25, 9:12. Luke 16, Acts 1:6. And Hebrews 13:19. He talks about knew him. Well, that means to recognize him. And that is not OU. But having done or did unto him in his case or what happened that he lost his life. And he talks about that he shall suffer, about to suffer, as John the Baptist did. He was going to lose his life also. The Son of Man also, it says. And then, of concerning there is the word peri, P-E-R-I, appendix 104:13:1. Now, that is what happened there in that time. And 14 picks up with, they came to a multitude. Now that multitude, a man came down and said, Lord, have mercy on my son. He's a lunatic. He's vexed. For at times he falls into the fire and often in the water. And he asked him the question, I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. And Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him to me. Bring him hither to me. Jesus rebuked the devil, and the devil came out of the young man. Wasn't a problem with Christ. He is the man tied to the power of God. He's God's man, but he's man's God. And he could do these things. But see, he shown to them people that were there at the transfiguration, he showed to them that there was a resurrection, it was the truth, and that resurrection cannot hold him, and he is going to go do the work to take care of those that need their sins removed from them. Nobody can be saved by the law. It's got to be by the faith of Jesus Christ. And so, how that faith is going to be established is going to be because he came back to life again the third day and was with them 40 days. And he said, look, stay here till the Comforter comes. And the Comforter is the Holy Spirit. And the Comforter is going to come and is going to indwell man. From that time on, those that believe and have been chosen to understand this mystery truth and that the Israelite people are going to have to believe this in order to have this Holy Spirit. Otherwise, they're going to be chosen by their works. And who's going to judge them? No one had the ability to open the books to do that judging except Christ Jesus. He was the only one that was prepared or had been prepared to open the books and to say if you were just or if you were not just. In the last lesson that we had, we talked about justification. Well, to be justified means that you've been set free. It's justified, never done it. That's what Christ did for me and you. It's justified. It's just as if it had never happened to us. And so this is the great thing that happened there by the Lord showing he didn't have to show all of them. You know, we had a doubting Thomas in this crowd. And he said, Lord, I've got to see the scars. I've got to see the nail prints in the hand. Well, we have to go to Malachi and Zechariah to get that. How much time we got left, right?
9:13.
Okay. Turn with me back to the 14th chapter. The 13th chapter of Zechariah. We're going to read a little bit there. Now, there's a lot of reading.
13 or 14?
13, start off with. Zechariah 13. On page 1293, if you have a companion Bible. In that day there shall be a fountain open to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Okay. Now, it says this in verse 2, and it shall come to pass. Now listen. This is from, according to the Companion Bible, this is about 400 to 403 years, somewhere in that time, that it's going to be before the Lord is going to come back to the earth, show up. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered. And also I will cause the prophets and the unclean spirits to pass out of the land. And it shall come to pass that when any shall yet prophesy, then his father and his mother that begat him shall say unto him, thou shalt not live. For thou speakest lies in the name of the Lord. And his father and his mother that begat him shall thrust him through when he prophesieth. And it shall come to pass in that day that the prophets shall be ashamed every one of his visions when he hath prophesied. Neither shall they wear a rough garment to deceive, but he shall say, I am no prophet, I am a husbandman, for man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. So there's not one from around 400 years before Christ is going to show up as a man. There's not going to be. When Malachi dies, or when his work is done with the prophesying there, then there's just not going to be another. But let's read verse 6. He said, man taught me to keep cattle from my youth. Wasn't this like David? Yeah. One shall say unto him, talking about when a prophet shows up, what are the wounds in thee then in thine hands? And he shall answer, those with which I was wounded in the house of my friends. Awake, O sword, against my shepherd, and against the man that is my fellow, saith the Lord of hosts. Smite the shepherd, and the sheep shall be scattered, and I will turn my hand upon the little ones. So you see, here was Zacharias' appointment as a prophet to show the people that there'd be no more prophets after him and Malachi leaves the scene for the 400 and something years, and one would come that would be a prophet, and he would have the nail prints in his hand. That was for doubting Thomas, because he wasn't there at the transfiguration. Oh my goodness. The works of God is great, isn't it? Okay. So, is that just thrown in there? No. It just didn't, because there's more of this in chapter 14. But let's go to Malachi 4, which is just two or three pages on over.
4 or 14? 4.
Malachi 4. That 4 is it.
Yeah.
And there's 6 verses here, so we read it. For behold, the day cometh that shall burn as an oven. Now this is Malachi giving forth his last bit of prophecy. The day cometh that shall burn as an oven, and all the proud, yea, and all that do wickedly shall be stubble. And the day that cometh shall burn them up, saith the Lord of hosts, that it shall leave them neither root nor branch. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. Oh, gee. And ye shall go forth and grow up as calves of the stall. And ye shall tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet, in the day that I shall do this, saying the Lord of hosts. The Lord of hosts. Verse 4. Remember ye that the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgment. Behold, I will send you Elijah, the prophet, before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord Jehovah. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. And he's talking here about the day of the Lord. And the Lord here is Jehovah. So we've talked about these things, and we realize that he's going to come as he said he would come, and he's going to come with his angels. And if you go back to Zechariah 14 and read Zechariah 14, we don't have time to do this, but it talks about when he does come back, he's going to come back with his saints, with his angels. Because you see, before he told them not to tell anybody, because he hadn't finished the work that he come to do. And he had to come and finish the work. And he was with them for the 40 days. And so he was going to leave them the last day of before Pentecost, or the day of Pentecost, which was 50 days from his death till he went back up to the Mount of Olives and went up, was 43 days. So like it was for the 6 days before the Transfiguration, on the seventh day, they're going to receive the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And it's going to dwell within from now on for those that have been chosen, or those who believe. Not for those who repent, because repentance was for Israel. And it's to believe God now, because we have God's word, and it's not by the law anymore. It's by the believing Christ. It is the faith that one has in Christ Jesus, because he came and did the work that we could not do for ourselves. He paid the price that we could not pay, because God would not accept our blood. And he paid for it. And we can hook on to that faith of Christ. And it's kind of like where you go somewhere and you go and they got a zip line somewhere. And you climb up and you hook your hook onto that zip line. That's like us. We can hook ourselves onto the faith of Christ. In that manner, and his faith will carry us all the way to eternity. All the way to eternity. Isn't that something great? And he showed those guys that were there about resurrection, and those that said had never died, but here he was again with life again. And the deal with that also was John the Baptist, because I guess he's not done with John the Baptist either. Mm-hmm. according to this. And so when he does come back, Zechariah 14, and he puts his foot back down on the Mount of Olives, there's going to be a great earthquake there. And it's going to move out a great spot on that world over there. And I think, this is my thoughts, you can believe it or not believe it, but I think that's where he's going to set the throne of David in that place. And he is going to be with these people, and he's going to rule and reign for the 1,000 years. And he is going to set everything right that Satan put down when he started out back in Genesis 1 and 2. And everything's going to come back around, and here again, the rest of all these predictions and all these things that have taken place are going to fall in place, and the Father's going to get his part, the ones that have life through the blood of Abraham. They're going to live on the earth. And those that said they believed, but really didn't follow up on it, I think they're going to live in the light of the city, according to the book of John, because that gospel of John is different from the other three gospels. Because there was three men with three different thoughts, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. And those were what they call the Gospels with three looks, but with one real reason. And those three can give you a total picture. But the book of John was different. And in it, we see that there's some that can have life through his name. But there's a big difference between being chosen or being an adopted son of God or being filled with the Holy Ghost or the Holy Spirit. Because some come and get on their knees and say they're going to or will. But you look around a little while later and you don't see them there no more. And they don't get that urge or that need to look and to get into God's Word and to get involved, because that's what it takes. You would never have to go and get a paper from one of the colleges that said if you just went and read the books, you'd know all there was to know, because that's not true. It takes one, and this is what Paul said about, study to show thyself approved unto God, not unto man, but unto God. How can you get approval to God if you just do the things sometimes like we do when we go to work and we don't feel like working? We're not approving. We're not being approved under our boss man. So how could you be approved under God who knows all things? That is a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful verse of scripture. Man that needeth not to be ashamed. To stand before God ashamed would be a bad thing to do. But to have his approval would be the greatest thing out of this world. I'm not going to say in the world. I'll say out of this world, that we can have that hope. God bless. We'll pick up the next part of this thing the next time and go on again. Appreciate you being with us. And we've had a little water this week, and we thank God for the water, but Lord, we look for warmer days and brighter times. And hopefully that the world will come to some of its senses. Pray that it will. God bless you.